John's Gospel, chapter 3, please. Verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now will you turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 5. First epistle of John, chapter 5. Verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That little statement in the middle of the verse, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. The Lord will bless to our hearts these readings from his precious word. Now, friends, it was only out of deep exercise that I eventually decided to tell you tonight how that I came to know Christ as my Savior. And one would desire that self could be left out of this continually, because I think you'll agree with me that in the weeks that have gone, we have sought not to preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. But in a testimony meeting, it's essential that we have to mention something about ourselves. I believe that my first desire in telling you how the Lord saved me would be that the Lord Jesus would be glorified. And then again, that precious souls listening to my simple story of conversion, you might be encouraged to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then again, we have a responsibility. You have been listening to us night after night, and you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to let you know how that I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Now, I was not, as you might think, born in Northern Ireland. I was born in Scotland. When I was just about a year and a half, my father was killed in the First World War. I never remember him. At that stage, my mother went to live with my grandparents in a little town called Annan in Scotland. I haven't time to tell you just the circumstances surrounding my father's death. He had got the military medal for bravery in the field of France, and was coming back to Buckingham Palace. My mother was waiting on the telegram telling her when he would arrive. Instead of that, she got the telegram telling her that my father had been blown to pieces by a German bomb. My father was a godly man. There were old brethren in Dumfries in Scotland where I was born, and I've talked to them on more than one occasion. My heart was glad to hear them tell me of my father in his early days in the assembly in Dumfries. I have my father's Bible at home. I cherish that. On the back page of that Bible is written in a lovely handwriting, "I fear not the way of the gloomy gray, for I know that Jehovah is mighty to save." My mother told me my father just took a little pocket testament with him when he went to the battlefields of France. When I was 4 years of age, my grandparents came back to Northern Ireland. My grandfather was a miller, and my mother and I came with my grandparents back to Northern Ireland. So from I was 4 years of age until I left to go to the West Indies, I lived in Northern Ireland. Now I'm going to take you away back. I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 when I can remember for the first time being touched with the gospel story. I had a godly Sunday school teacher. Her name was Miss McClelland. She was later Mrs. Brown, and she was the mother of our brother Jim Brown, who was full-time in the work of the gospel in Northern Ireland. My earliest recollections is sitting on her knee in the Sunday school class and looking into the face of that dear lady. And as she told us the story of Calvary, I can well remember yet the tears running down her cheeks. Just a little boy, and yet that made a very deep impression on my heart. When I was 13, I had a very serious illness. I had rheumatic fever. There was complications there, and I was just on the very edge of eternity. And yet, dear friend, I cannot remember God, hearing the voice of God at that time. I can't remember that. But I do remember shortly after I recovered and sitting in a gospel meeting in the town of Portadown in Northern Ireland, listening to Mr. Frank Knox. I was sitting by my mother's side. I was just between 13 and 14. And I realized in those meetings for the first time that I was a sinner. Now that might surprise you, because I was carried to Sunday school. And then I was in the Sunday school classes coming up. But I was between 13 and 14 before I realized that I was a sinner on my own count, as it were. If you had talked to me before that, I would have told you I wasn't saved. Sure I would. But I wasn't very concerned about it. You see, I knew my father was in heaven. I knew my mother was going to heaven. I knew my grandparents were saved, and they were going to heaven. An uncle lived with us. He was saved. He was going to heaven. And if you had asked me about being saved, I would have said, no, I'm not saved. But I had no concern, because I had a little built-up theory in my mind. And I'm telling you this for maybe some of you young folk. And that built-up theory told me this. Now look, all your loved ones are going to heaven. And if the Lord comes, or if you died, you would be all right. But you know, in those gospel meetings, I realized that I was wrong, that I wouldn't be all right. And I realized that I was a sinner in my own count, and if I died like that, I would be lost. And you know, while I wasn't saved then, yet, dear friend, I was never the same after. after that. I had within my heart a desire to be saved. And I had a dread that the Lord would come and leave me behind. And you know, young friend, I want to say this, that one of these days the Lord is coming. And there'll be teenagers and younger than that left behind if they're not saved. And I would want to ask you now, are you saved? Young lady, young man, are you ready for heaven? Because be you well assured, if you personally have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you won't go when the Lord Jesus comes. And I realized that. But those meetings passed, and I wasn't saved. It was 3 years and a little more later when I did trust Christ. I'm sorry I wasn't saved at between 13 and 14. Because in those intervening years, why, thank God, I never went down what you would call the dirty side of the broad road. Yet, I got involved in worldly things. I started to go to dramatic classes and everything associated with that. And I loved it and I was good at it. As a young teenager, I was leading Northern Ireland in the field of dramatics and competitions and such like. When I come up to 17, when I was saved, I was getting involved in plays and all that sort of thing, much to the distress of my dear mother. I lived for the thing. Now, I always went to gospel meetings. No problem getting me to go. If I hadn't a dramatic class, I would go to the gospel meetings. When I was approaching 17, gospel meetings started in our hometown in the gospel hall. Now I had two very good friends. A young man and a young lady. The three of us were just like triplets. We were together everywhere. The young lady and the young man were keeping company one with another. But folk that didn't know us well, they used to wonder which of the two boys the young lady loved. Well, there was no problem as far as we were concerned. We knew all right. But the three of us were together all the time. Our families were all in assembly fellowship. We chummed about together. We used to cycle together to work. We worked near each other. And we would cycle back home again. These meetings started in the month of November and the month of January, and they went right through to the month of February. The last meeting of that series was on the 19th of February. One morning as we were cycling to work, my friend Willie, we had been attending the meetings every night. My friend Willie said to me, he said, "Jack, I've something to tell you." So I knew exactly what he was going to tell me. He said, "I got saved last night." And you know, that was a shock. About 4 or 5 days later, the young lady who later became his wife, she's still alive, not well at all. I saw her on a number of occasions when we were home in Britain recently. Willie has gone to be with the Lord a number of years ago. About 4 days later, Mamie said to me one morning, she said, "Jack, I got saved last night. And you know, I knew, dear friend, that I would never be the same again. That our friendship would never be the same. I knew that things were going to be different. And I must confess, it wasn't that dear brother's preaching, Mr. D.L. Craig, a faithful preacher of the gospel. He's still alive. He's over 90. It wasn't his preaching impressed me. It was my two friends getting saved, and then I really started to listen. You see, I didn't want to be saved. Oh, I was prepared to go to gospel meetings. But I hadn't got to the stage that my brother has been talking about tonight, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I knew I was a sinner. But my dear friend, I hadn't conviction of sin. I hadn't that burning desire to know Christ as my Savior. But after my two friends were saved, I started to listen. You know, you can sit in a gospel meeting and you can switch off and your mind can be miles away. And I can remember sitting in the early part of those meetings, I would say now to my shame, and my mind would be away in the dramatic class. And I would be thinking of those things. Now, I couldn't tell you the exact spot or the time, but I can remember towards the end of those gospel meetings, I got to the point where I wanted salvation more than anything else. And that was a big decision. I was wanting salvation. I realized if I died as a sinner, I would be lost. And I can remember going to my mother's bedroom and putting my ear to the door and listening. I wanted to hear her breathing. I wanted to be sure the Lord hadn't come. My dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God was working on my heart. I never missed a meeting. I attended every night. The dramatic classes got second place. And I got to the stage where I would try to believe. I would think of a hymn. And I would sing a verse or two of the hymn and try to stir up some feeling. But you know, it was all to no avail. Then I started to read the Bible. And I read John 3:16 dozens of times. And I said, "Well, I believe that and I'm saved." But I wasn't saved. Maybe some of you are there just now. I had a godly Sunday school teacher. And I can remember one night, you see, it's really an amusing thing when you think of it. I was trying to cover up. I didn't want anybody to know. I was a young fellow of 17. And I didn't want the folk to know that I was concerned about salvation. But they all knew and they were all praying for me. And so one night, I just hung around and I saw my Sunday school teacher come out, a fellow called Robert Hewitt. And I said to Robert, "Robert, I want to talk to you. And you know, if I had you away yonder in Northern Ireland in Portadown, I could take you to the very lamp on Thomas Street under which we stopped." He said, "Jack, what's your problem?" I said, "Robert, I would like to be saved." And he got out his Bible. And he read to me John chapter 3 and verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." I said, Luke Roberts, I believe all that you believe. I believe that Christ died on the cross for sinners. I believe He died for me. And I said, I'm not saved. Now I said, there's something more that I'm not being told. But I'm not saved, and I believe all you believe. Dear Robert, he started to quote the verse again. He said, Jack, all I can tell you is, he that believeth on the Son. And before he had finished, I just turned on my heel and walked away. I didn't want to be rude, but I was disappointed. I felt at that stage that there was no salvation for me. The last night of the meeting stood, the 19th of February, 1933. And I was 17, so you can get this. Mr. Craig was preaching solemnly that night. And I remember going out of the door, and for the first time in 9 weeks, I think it was, of meetings. He had started before Christmas, stopped off for the holidays, and continued. And I can remember, for the first time, Mr. Craig, on that Sunday night, he caught me by the hand and he said, "You used to call me Jackie." He said, "Jackie, you're not saved yet?" And I just pulled my hand out of his. I said, "No, I'm not saved." And I just got out as quick as I could. You see, if I'd stayed another minute, I would have burst into tears. And a fellow of 17 cried. I didn't want them to see my team. You know, friend, I want to go slow. I left the gospel hall, up to Hanover's. Hey, down into Thomas Street. I'll never forget that Sunday night. Passing by the little Baptist church. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard a voice within speaking. And it was the voice of Satan. I know that. And you know, even yet, when I think of it sometimes, it makes my flesh creep. The devil said, "You remember when you were 13 and you heard the gospel? You could have been saved then." And the devil said, "You've missed salvation. That's why you can't get saved by believing." I can hear this so distinctly. Then the devil said, "Look, you go ahead and enjoy your dramatics and take hell when it comes." And the thing that frightens me is that that appeals. I went down home that night without a concern in my mind. I went to sleep. No thought of anxiety. No thought of being saved. I went to work next morning with Willie and Mamie. There was very little conversation. Now, I don't know how Mamie had managed to do this, but when I got to the shop where I worked in a dry goods store, a draper's shop. When I got there was a letter on the counter addressed to me, and I knew her handwriting, and I thought, that's about being saved, but I'm finished with that. And I remember just putting the letter in my pocket. I was junior in the department, and it was my job about 11 o'clock to put the kettle on and to make a cup of tea for those in my own department. And I remember in that little room, I said the other night I could have taken you to it, but the IRA dropped the bomb on that building, and that part of that store or shop has been demolished. When I used to come home from the West Indies, I used to go into that little room and bow my knee and thank God. It was to me the most sacred place on earth. That Monday morning, about 11 o'clock, as the kettle was boiling, I thought, well, there's no harm in looking at the letter anyway. And I took it out. And there were, John 3:16 was there. No salutation, no nothing. Just John 3:16 on the page. And I want to read it, quote it to you, how it was written. For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jack Noble believes in him, and then in brackets, God says, he will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, dear friend, as I left, all the longing for the saved flooded my soul again. Oh, I thank God for that. You know, young person, I believe that I was near hell on that Sunday night. Near missing God's salvation. And you know, if you resist the Holy Spirit of God, He could leave you. And you would be lost forever. Is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you now? Do you have a desire, young man, in your heart to know Christ as your Savior? Have you? Young lady, is there a longing to have peace with God? Is there? If you have that longing in your heart, don't you leave this building tonight until you are sure that all is well for eternity. You could be concerned about your soul, young friend, and still be damned for God's eternity. If you like, God, give me by the Holy Spirit a second chance. And as I read that verse, and the words that were below it, and I thank God for those words. Maybe had written, Jack, are you going to make God a liar? And with a longing in my heart to be saved, I read the verse over again. Did you read it with me? I don't mean literally from your Bible. But as I quoted, would you go along with me? And if you would like to be saved, would you put your name in? Here's what I read. For God so loved Jack Noble, your name, that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jack Noble believes in him, God says, and for the first time, I heard a voice. No. For the first time, I realized that my salvation depended not so much on my trying to believe to be saved, but to believe God. Now, what did God say? Let's go over it again. And you put your name in, if you would like to be saved tonight. For God so loved Jack Noble, that he gave his only begotten son,
that if Jack Noble believes on him, and I believe that Christ died on the cross for sinners, I believe he died for me. And I was prepared at that moment to take him as my Savior, because that believing is an action word. I could believe that that glass of water would quench my thirst, and I could die of thirst. But if I believe, I'm going to put it into action and I'm going to drink it. And I'll come back again. Mr. McCullough gave me half an hour, but I'm going to take a wee bit more. I want you to come very carefully with me. For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, young man, young lady, put your name in here. That if Jack Noble believes on him, God says, the God that cannot lie says, Jack Noble believes on him. God says, do not perish, but have everlasting life. Jack, are you going to make God a liar? Oh, I would nearly be tempted to call out your name for that. But don't be worried, I'm not going to do it. Why don't you stop trying to believe to be saved and believe God, as we talked about Jim Shannon last night? For God so loved you. Young lady, the great God of heaven through the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart now. Young man, I believe tonight there's some of you and you're at a crossroads and heaven and hell are in the question. For God so loved you. You forget about everybody else at this moment. For God so loved you as an individual that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe on him, God says, the God that cannot lie says, God says, whosoever that you believing on the Son, God says, will have everlasting life. Are you going to make God a liar? And you know, dear friend, as I read that, I thought, well, I believe what God says. And the thought that reached my heart was, I must be saved. God says it. God says it. And there, a trembling soul, I just as it were, held on to the words of God. The God that cannot lie. Oh, I didn't have a great surge of feeling. But for the first time, I believed God. What did God say? For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jack Noble believes on him, God says, he'll not perish, but he'll have everlasting life. 52 years, on the 20th of this month, or should I say to reverse it, the 20th of this month will make 52 years since that Monday morning. And young friend, tonight on say, anxious about your soul, or maybe you've trusted Christ just now. I'm resting now, for I rested 52 years ago. And thank God I don't need any more. And I'll never get any more. The first thoughts, as I've said, that surged through my heart were simply this. I must be saved, because God says it. That's all I have. And thank God I didn't need any more. And you know, as I thought of that, I thought, yes, I am saved. God says I'm saved. And I remember leaving that little room and going out and looking at the shop and looking around, and I thought, I'm saved. And you know, at that stage, there was peace. The knowledge of sins forgiven. Peace with God. That's what God's word says. Therefore, being justified by faith, faith in the word of God, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. My next thoughts. I thought, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to see how this works. Just want to be sure. And then I realized I had to meet my friends at 12 o'clock outside the front door of the shop. And I went to the charge of the department, the man in charge, and I said, could I go out a couple of minutes earlier today? He said, all right. And I got my bicycle from the back of the shop and went down home a different road. More senses than one, I went home a different way that day. When I got home, my mother was round in the backyard. We were reared in very humble circumstances. My mother had 28 shillings and sixpence for both of us. When I went home that Monday morning, my dear mother was in the wash house in the old scrubbing board, washing the clothes. I don't know how it happened. Before I knew, I had my arms around her neck. I said, Mother, I got saved this morning. Those tears. I was just beginning to slip away. I got saved on the 20th of February. In the month of March, I was to sit a major exam that would have taken me right into the field of dramatics. The Lord saved me just in time. We shed tears together. Now, Mr. Craig had finished the gospel meetings on the Sunday night. And on the Monday night, he was starting meetings. Some of my friends will know the place, a little area called the Birches, about 9 or 10 miles away from Portadown. And the believers had got a bus. They called it a Sharabang in those far by on gone days. And they packed this bus to go out to give Mr. Craig a start, to give him a help in the meetings. Their courage. And of course the news went right round that Jackie had got saved. And I went with them that night. And I can remember the little building wasn't half as big as this hall. It would seat maybe 70 or 80 people at the most. I can remember sitting right here, right up against the platform. Now in later days, Mr. Craig and I preached the gospel together. But I've often told him I never forgave him for what he did that night. He said, now, some of your brethren might have put him out of fellowship. He said, now, before I start preaching, He said, there's a young fellow that got saved this morning and he's going to tell us how it happened. Now that was a terrible thing to do. I got up and the place just went right around. I don't know what I said, but I just told the man away that the Lord had saved me. And I stumbled down again. It's 9:10, but I'm not finished. There's something's been exercising my heart to say, and I will feel it's maybe for someone in this gospel meeting tonight. I was saved on the 20th of February. In the month of June, I was baptized and received into the assembly in Portadown. The young brother, the first 5 years of my Christian life was wasted. Why would say it? Sure. But you know, before the Lord saved me, I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't think my mother ever knew. I used to buy peppermints by the pound and chew them so she wouldn't smell the cigarettes. But I can remember once a traveler came into the store. I was saved about 5 years at the time. I was now managing a dry goods store. A traveler came in and he took out the packet of fags, we used to call them cigarettes. And he knocked it open and reached, and I took out one, and I put it into my breast pocket. And I, later on in the day, I went out into the little outside washroom. I knew those matches on the ledge there, where the boys used to smoke. I took the cigarette, and I struck the match, and I looked at it. Tears started to flow. I remember putting it down and putting my heel on it. Wasn't happy, wasn't reading, wasn't praying. Oh, I was putting up a good face, sure I was. Then I can remember, and about 4 days later, I was driving my little car, and Mr. Fred Bingham, now with the Lord, he was in the car. And I can remember he put his arm around my shoulder as I was driving this way. And he said, Jack, has it never occurred to you that the Lord wants you to live for him? Now that's for somebody in this gospel meeting tonight, a believer. My life was no good for God. It's yours? Is it? I went home. And I shed more tears than I ever shed over my sin. It's an unsafe. I came back to the Lord then. Then the Lord started to work a little in my life. Only one life will soon be passed. Young man, you're saved tonight. The Lord has saved your soul and he wants your body as a living sacrifice on the altar for him. So pray. Our God and Father, we come tonight and we thank thee for saving grace. Lord, we would feel tonight so unworthy, not only the man in the platform, but each one of us. But thou wast pleased to choose us out of the multitude of earth. Save us by thy grace. We give thee grateful thanks. Lord, we pray for any dear ones in this company tonight, not saved. O Lord, some the Holy Spirit is striving, and there's an awful danger, Lord, that they'll miss salvation. O Lord, help them to put salvation first, that they might choose Christ and choose Christ tonight. Lord, remember that young brother, that young sister, that older brother or sister that's just putting up a show and they're saved, but Lord, they've no joy. Oh Lord, bring them back to thyself, we ask, for Christ's sake. I'm going to sing, please. And I've kept you to nearly a quarter past. I'm not apologizing, but we'll try not to do that again, at least in these meetings. Number 78. And we'll just sing, for the sake of time, just two verses of the hymn. We'll sing verses 2 and 3.